Welcome to Larry Reedy's America. Today, our guests are Nancy Lehman and Bill Riley, and they are active members in a great charity, and it's called Youth to Yellowstone of Ripley County. Which one of you were volunteers for that first, or were you both about the same time?
We were discussing that this morning, and we both realized that we started at exactly the same time.
You're kidding me.
Really, we were both chaperones the same year.
How many years ago?
That was in 2017, right, Nancy?
Bill went in 2017, and then I followed up with 2018 as a chaperone.
Okay.
So Bill's got a year on me.
Okay. So how many years has this chapter been in existence?
Genesis of the idea of Youth Yellowstone was started by just two people and one student. Jim Waldo of Versailles and Kendall Hankins, I think he lives in Holton. He's our county commissioner right now. They were friends and they were going out to Yellowstone. Kendall's always been a huge Yellowstone fan. And they said, you know, we ought to take a kid out with us sometime. Somebody hasn't really traveled, just somebody we don't know, we'll just take them out with us. And they took one out. And that was in somewhere around 2009, somewhere in that area. And that year was, they felt that they made an impact on that kid. They said, well, let's take two the next year. And so the two of them took two more boys out. And they had a discussion after that trip, and they said, well, you know, we ought to bring a girl out too. And so it just kind of went like that every year.
Well, I take it that the other chapters across country were already in force at that time, or not?
No, not that we're aware of.
Mean you might have been the first one?
Well, we believe that Kendall and Jim did start.
Yeah,
they started the idea, because we haven't run into organizations that really have the same mission and the same demographics that we work. We have one other county in Indiana, and that's part of the story. Jim was given a presentation one time on what they were doing to a group, I think, over in Decatur County, and a gentleman by the name of Russell Wilson was at the presentation. He's from Westport, and he started talking with Jim, and they just thought that this was such a great idea that it should become an organization. And the result of that conversation, Russell had created an entity in Decatur County called Youth to Yellowstone, and incorporated as a nonprofit in 2015. And so that became Decatur County became the first formal group in the organization. And as a result of that, and Jim's connection with Ripley, being a Ripley County resident, and also Kendall, he was involved in that as well. They said, well, you know, we got to have the Ripley County kids involved in this too. And so really Decatur County kind of incubated Ripley County, and, it shared resources like tents and sleeping bags and things like that. And as Russell was really good at generating funds and generating, you know, the finances for Decatur County, so we had all the equipment, but we shared the equipment. And in 2019, we decided that Ripley County needed to be an organization on its own. We got to the point where we were connected enough in Ripley County to do that. And we incorporated in 2019, just in time for the pandemic in 2020, which was our first year we couldn't go anywhere.
Well, so this isn't a national thing?
It is not national that we're aware of. That's a great question.
That is a great question. You know, we would love to see that.
What I would do, I'd approach somebody like the Hillenbrand Foundation, get enough money to hire a super salesman and him go across country and establish places. I mean, this is just a great opportunity. In my opinion, my wife and I are both lower middle class growing up, and you know, we didn't go to Florida, and we didn't have the resources, our families didn't. And I can't imagine, well, I'll get into your mission after that, but I would think that a disadvantaged kid, now I would say disadvantaged, but for one reason or another, he's not going on vacation, and he gets the outdoors, plus gets to stay in a motel here and there. That could be a life-changing experience, and I'll ask you about that later. But so get back to your 2019, and when you incorporated.
We incorporated in 19, like I said, just in time for the pandemic. And, of course, we couldn't go in 2020. And we're built around this a trip once a year. We take all of the students and out to Yellowstone and the West, and we can get into that more in detail. But we're built around that, and so in 2021, it was just we were struggling, just like every other business was trying to figure out how to get out of this financial situation. We couldn't go. It was difficult for us to go visit organizations and do fundraising in person. We could do it online, and so we were learning how to do that. In 2022, we had a tremendous trip in 2022. Unfortunately, that was the year the park actually had been flooded and closed.
Yes.
That leads to a bunch more stories.
Yes. That was an adventure.
Yeah, I would say.
And it ended up last year, 2023, I think, was probably the best trip and the best organized, growth spurt that we had seen. Last year was really, we're shooting off like a rocket now.
Okay.
So, we were young, learning how to work. We're not nonprofit experts, so we're learning about all of this stuff. And the community has stepped up. It's amazing how the community has stepped up.
Yeah.
And so we're built around a model where we would be actually more than willing to work with Franklin County, Dearborn County, Switzerland County, any county around,
and incubate Ohio, them. Kentucky,
not even contained to Indiana alone.
Yeah,
any
right.
following, any state out there that would want to get involved.
There's enough outdoor people in this country, and that they have the resources, maybe early retirement, they're looking for something to do. I mean, this would be
right.
This would be great. And if you got somebody with some organizational skills, they could. All they have to do is copy your model and put it to work for them.
We would encourage them to actually travel with us at least once.
Oh, sure.
To kind of see how we, not that our model is perfect because there's always room for improvement, but to kind of see how we roll with everything. And that way it's not so overwhelming trying to start up.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to you because your first trip that you took as a chaperone and so you kind of realized your dream of being a park ranger almost.
Yes. It came along at such a perfect time where I, been through the pandemic. And, of course, like everybody, had a lot of time to reflect. And during that time, I did turn back into the outdoors. And I just really had a really strong pull. And once that I heard that this organization needed chaperones, well, yeah, absolutely, I want to go. And I went on that trip and just enjoyed every single second of it because I didn't think I was going to get to go again. And I really enjoyed every bit of it, from the traveling to the kids to just everything that we were seeing and experiencing. And then I was just very surprised and delighted to have been invited onto the Board of Trustees.
Mm-hmm. So how many trips have you actually been on?
Let's see. I think I've been on a total of 7 now.
Bill, how many?
That would make me eight.
Then. Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically every year.
Every year.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many chaperones go?
Well, our chaperone numbers will depend upon how many students we take.
So how many last year? How many students did you have?
So last year we took a total of 14 students and we had 8 chaperones.
I was going to say.
Yeah, and this year we're projecting and hoping to take 14 students again with 8 chaperones.
Okay. Now, question. I mean, this is really interesting. I love, you know, doing anything with kids. I had... I've mentioned this on other podcasts, but I had 3 podcasts with seniors from Batesville High School, and I had 6 from Oldenburg Academy. And there's a lot of times in the past when I'd be talking to somebody, and I'd say, you might not be the smartest guy in this room. I would never say that with those kids because they are so smart and really got it together. It's unbelievable. So why don't you, both of you, take turns or something? Just go through the preparation, how a student qualifies for this, and the trip itself, what you do. I'm just one take part of it, another take the other part, so I don't care.
Well, what we like to do is we reach out to the schools in Ripley County.
Okay.
And we contact the high school counselors because they understand the type of student that we're looking for. Those that are travel challenged, that maybe have not been able to have the opportunity to travel. Maybe those students that need a big boost in confidence or just need a break. So we contact those high school counselors, and then they usually contact the students that they feel are deserving of the trip and encourage them to apply. Those applications then come in to the Board of Trustees, as well as applications that we receive from online from our website. And then we read through, as the board in whole, we read through all the applications, and then we just choose from those applicants who gets to go.
Okay, your trips are usually summer?
They are in the summer.
Okay. So when do you have your applicants picked out to go? In other words, do you start getting applications for 2024 and 2023? And sort through them? Is that how it works?
We will receive applications anytime during the year. We really start to rally with the schools in Ripley County starting around the beginning of February, it seems to be. So they have just been reached out to this month, and we already are having those applications pour into us. And our applications will be open this year, or the application process will be open until May 1st.
Okay. And if I remember reading on the website, mostly juniors going into their senior year.
Yeah, we really love the juniors because they can come back to Ripley County, and they have now hopefully something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of times these kids that go out with us, maybe they don't have a plan for after high school, or maybe they don't have a skill, and maybe they're obtaining a skill or obtaining a passion that they didn't know about while they're on our trip. Maybe they gain a whole bunch of confidence while they're on our trip, and we just try to build them up while they're with us as much as what we can, so when they come back to the community that they have something to look forward to, maybe.
Okay. Bill, okay. Preparation for the trip. I know you have take equipment, but you're transporting, with 14, you're transporting 22 people. So let's get into that, how you do it, what resources you have.
Nancy's laughing at me because this is the hard question. we continuously improve, and we're actually getting quite good at it now. There's a lot of logistics going on right this minute. One, this is our big time for fundraising. because we have to pay for this. The students, this is totally free to them and their families. We provide everything. If they need hiking boots, we'll give them hiking boots, t-shirts, sweatshirts. So we have to anticipate that and plan for, we do fundraising to help the kids prepare. Mm-hmm. We also are planning meals. We have a couple of meetings before the trip, one with the families to kind of tell them what the program's about. But the second one, I think, is probably the most important, where we get with the kids. We have an activity day where we plan meals, find out what their desires are and what their needs are sometimes. And shoe sizes. We get shoes, we get t-shirts and jackets and all that sort of thing on that activity day. So there's a lot of planning to get ready for mm-hmm. that. But actually, we are planning right now for the 2025 season. We've got to reserve campsites at Yellowstone. We've got hotels to worry about. We've got cars. We drive out there, and we travel in passenger vans and one cargo van. So we have to make sure that that's going to be available. You have to plan those things.
So you're basically running three vans.
We are, yes.
Have you approached the dealership to give you a special rate because of this?
Yes. Right now, this year, we're using Enterprise, and they're helping us quite a bit. They provide discounts out of Greensburg. They give us discounts on certain parts of it and things that they can give us. And so they help us out on that. It is a big expense. In fact, the vans are the single expense. It's quite a bit. I mean, thousands of dollars.
The mileage and such. And you don't want to borrow somebody's van that's 10 years old or anything that might not make it. So.
Actually, that's an excellent point, because this is an important trip for these kids. Yeah. And the worst thing that could happen is that something would break down and we wouldn't be able to accomplish part of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so that's why we rent from a national company like Enterprise.
Absolutely.
And we have had breakdowns where Rapid City seems to be our touch point, where we do have breakdowns if it's going to happen. And the Enterprise dealer out there has helped us out find another van, because it's not something you can get at the drop of a hat.
So basically, the one you're taking some dry goods and your tents and such in the one van, and the other one's just passenger. And I guess the kids pack very light as far as clothing and everything.
Sometimes better than other times.
Well, if you're taking girls, that might not be the case.
room is a problem sometimes.
Okay, big question here. I'm sure it's an eye-opening experience for the kids. So you've been, say, 9 years ago, your first group that went out there. They were at the time probably 16 or 25 now. Have you ever followed up with any of these kids to see if that changed their perspective on life? It helped them, or what has been the response to something like that?
This is an exciting time for us right now. Last year, we had one of our chaperones was one of the first students that went out with us.
Yes.
And Decatur County's experiencing the same thing. In fact, one of their leaders is a kid who's gone out with us in their high school days.
Really?
So you're right. Our chaperone age is really driven by the car rental company, because you've got to be 25 or 26 to drive. So that's what we're looking for, is 25, 6 years or older. And so they're cycling in now. And we're getting interest, contacts from previous students wanting to get involved with us in some way or another. And so, that's a great, great question.
The students reach back out to us almost immediately.
What's the reaction after the trip? And, 9 years from ago when their first one, or for a year or 2 years, what's the reaction? What do they say?
their reaction says that it was a trip of a lifetime, truly, that this is something they never would forget. Hiking a mountain for the first time in your life, and maybe the only time in your life, has a profound effect on you. Mm-hmm. It's very symbolic in many, many ways. And so a lot of them carry things that they experience on the trip, like climbing a mountain for the first time, or maybe it's just even something as simple as learning how to make breakfast. That has a big effect on them, and they're just wanting to give back. Mm-hmm. And they are very grateful. They understand what a gift this trip is.
Do you think... I know some of these people could be, maybe it's not a so much of an income thing with the family, but maybe it's somebody who just, the parents just can't get away for a vacation or anything. Sure. But do you think this trip actually can change the direction of a kid's life?
We've seen it happen. We've had students in the past that have come, I like to call them on the fence kids, mm-hmm. where they're kind of on the fence. They can go one way or they can go the other way. Yeah. And we're trying to keep them on the right side of the fence. And they've come back to their senior year. And then in turn, they went right back out to Yellowstone as an employee of the park.
Really?
Yes.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's because, you know, we're originally from Cincinnati. I had several businesses in Cincinnati, and some of them were high school kids that I had managers, and they were having a problem, and I sat down with some of them, talked to them, and again, it was the family upbringing wasn't real good for some of them, but they could... I think I tried to talk them away to get out of that when they're out of high school and maybe not be locked into a low income, or some of them was a drinking problem with families, or just not a good situation. And I would think, what's the trip is 14 days? Is that what
it's this year it's 13 days. Previously it's been 12.
Oh, okay. But, you know, 13 days, and you got a group of kids that never met each other before.
That's correct.
They learn how to get along with each other. And how many days do you go to a motel, and how many days do you camp?
We are camping in the park for 8 straight days.
8 straight.
Yes, and so we're traveling out. We're going to be staying in... 3 hotels going out, and 1 hotel coming back.
Okay, so coming back, it's a long haul.
It is. It's the run for the money. Get home.
So the kids that are going out, obviously they get to keep their hiking boots, they keep everything.
Yes.
Do you, on the way back when you stop, Do you splurge for a big dinner for them or not?
Oh, we spoil these kids. And that is the greatest fun that we have on this trip. It really is. It's really awesome to be able to spoil them, because a lot of them have never even eaten out before. We've taken kids on this trip that have never been 20 minutes past their home. Wow. So... just kind of wrap your head around that for a minute. I've had kids ask me when we stop in Illinois at a rest area, what is this place? Is this supposed to be something special? And they thought, because some of the rest stops on the highway are kind of like little welcome centers, and they thought it was supposed to be meaningful or something, because they've never even had that experience. Yeah. Some of them have never experienced a pit toilet before. So that is a big experience. Our trip is full of all kinds of experiences, and it doesn't matter how big or little it is. It has a huge impact, it does not only impact the students, but I think every chaperone that ever travels with us is impacted vary immensely as well.
I really think this should be a national organization. I really should. And there'd be a lot of work, but some of these foundations have a lot of money. And if you have someone that could just go around the different states, most communities have some really good leaders in the community, and they're very active, and I think they would jump on something like this. So just
we definitely agree.
Yes,
we have to grow, you know, and we do have our sights set on growing. You know, I'm an ex-engineer. Nancy's a school teacher, works at the library. We're not professional business people.
Yeah.
But we try our best, and we would welcome anybody that would want to come in and help us.
Yeah, well, that's great. And so your average chaperone that goes out, average age, would you say?
Let's see. We probably, some of our we have everything from retirement age down to school teachers. Nancy mentioned it earlier. It's difficult for somebody that has trying to build a career and try have a family and that sort of thing to go out. They have responsibilities. They can't take 2 weeks off.
Right.
So we tend to be a little bit older, but then again, we do have some younger ones. Like I said, last year was. The young lady was, I think she was 27.
27.
Yeah. And it was her full circle trip.
So, and I'm sure this has to happen one time or another. You must have some medical supplies if somebody gets too close to the fire and gets burnt or something. Has that happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do carry... first aid kits with us everywhere that we go. Mm-hmm. We also carry AED units with us on the trip. That's very important as well.
How about allergy medicine or stuff like that?
Yes, we'll carry anything that the students might need. And if we find something that they're needing while we're out, of course we will get it for them.
And when they apply, if they have any medical conditions, they have to put that down, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We have to know that.
Yeah, because that would be like if somebody has asthma or something, that they better
absolutely
have a rescue unit with them.
So.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's very interesting, and we're about at an hour in, so. Any words of wisdom or anything I think. You should really have a lot of fundraisers, because this is a great, great opportunity for disadvantaged kids. And there might be somebody out there listening to this that's got too much time on their hands and might.
That's right.
Might
we'll take any help that comes our way.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
So
just keep watching us on our Facebook page, and follow us on our website.
Yeah. Well, the website's better.
While we're on our trip, it's really easy for us to plug in pictures while we are traveling on the Facebook page, especially. And it's kind of fun to watch that.
Well, one thing you should do, and I have this problem, when I have people on as guests, I said, don't forget to share this. So I can't toot my own horn or something like that. Yeah. But when you put something on the website about Yellowstone, you should ask people to share this. And I think they would, because I actually put on Facebook, I tried to raise some money for you.
And thank you.
It
didn't work, because people, and I told them, put it in a sealed envelope, I'll pick it up at the at the Chamber of Commerce, but people don't do that. They have to be direct with it, and I don't know how you can reach people, but Facebook, you're only going to get out to so many people. They're not going to put it out for 1,000 people or anything. It's just not going to happen. And again, I talked to two other people when I found out about this. Nobody heard of it. And just if you get the word out, and maybe this will help, because if you get the word out and people know that this impacts lives, I'll tell you one. I've got a guest. He'll be on, I think, maybe this Sunday. His name's Dave Koger, and Dave, he has Trackside Pizza in Osgood, and he has other business, but. When I called Dave, Steve Harmeyer recommended that I give him a call. And first thing he said, well, you remember me? I said, well, should I? He said, well, he said, besides me buying an ATV from you back in the 80s, he said, when Watson, our UPS driver, when he was on vacation 5 weeks a year, I was your UPS driver. and as soon as he said that, I remembered who he was. Well, what Dave does, it's really kind of neat. If he has a high school employee that works 2 years, he gives him a $1,000 scholarship. If they work 4 years there, he gives them $2,000 scholarship. And he has a lot of part-time kids working there. And he's, you know, just an all-around good guy. But I've never heard of anybody doing that in the restaurant business. Maybe chains do, but I'm in a small restaurant. So it's kind of nice to have somebody do something like that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
For an employee to do that.
So, anything to say, party comments?
I would just say that if you know somebody that might be a great applicant, to encourage them to apply. If you know somebody or yourself is interested in being involved in our organization, to contact us. And definitely if anyone is willing and wanting to contribute in any type of way, whether a sponsorship or just a donation of any kind, we will gladly accept that.
Well, I got a check for you here today, so.
Well, thank you.
So, thank you very much.
Anything from you, Bill?
I do want to mention our website. It's youthtoyellowstone.org.
Yeah.
O-R-G. And we do have a page on there where you can donate securely through PayPal or with a credit card.
Yeah.
We also have contact information on there. You know, mail in a check.
The problem with PayPal is they get 15%, and I would never, ever use them.
They give us a little bit of a break being a nonprofit.
All day, do?
Yeah. It's not tremendous, but they do give us a bit of a break.
Still.
I mean, they do take, it's a business. They got to have money.
They got to have it, but I mean.
We would prefer a check directly. That way, all the funds come to us.
Well, sure.
But we do have several people, especially remote, that have heard about us through family or something. We get a check or two from Florida and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That's an easy way for them to contribute. And that's great.
Yeah, but see, most people don't realize that they PayPal's not a nonprofit organization.
It's not.
I mean, 15%, I donated recently to a guy that has stage 4 cancer. And years ago, I started Classic Pizza here in Batesville, and his wife not only worked when my son was running the place, but his wife was the best employee we ever had there, and she worked several years later with Chris Gilman. And I just couldn't bring myself to do PayPal. I went down the back roads and gave him a check to give him. But especially I think they were trying to raise maybe $19,000 or $20,000,
mm-hmm.
and they raised $20,000. Have $3,000 of it go to PayPal.
It's a bite. I mean, but it's a cost of doing what we do.
Yeah. But it'd be much better if it all went to you.
Yeah.
So, Nancy and Bill, I want to thank you for being guests on the podcast. And I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. And I'll talk to you on the next podcast.